Next up, we have Governing Dynamics and Keep Driving.
I-70 is cruel, even when the traffic's clear. I'm scrawling lists of demands that might have led you here. My closest prayer for the departed.
So this is a really heartfelt song. I took from this song that it was about a road trip with Joy. Travis has since confirmed that is correct. I understood roughly where Joy was based and where Travis lives. I think he's mentioned it on the Discord. I wasn't stalking him. He offered up that information. And I understood the road that is mentioned in the song effectively links where they lived or where they still live. So this is a heartfelt song. This song is an achingly lovely song. It drips with a sense of regret of reaching out to somebody that's no longer with us to offer help. Help that, sadly, in this instance, is too late to offer. But I love the intent of this song. I love the sound of the song. The guitars are lovely. Everything about this song is so well done. This song, though, I felt didn't meet the challenge. And I've asked Travis whether I can mention this. Travis and I have had a conversation since the reviews came out about how he felt he did meet the challenge. He's explained to me where he felt he met the challenge. And I've gone away to thinking, I can see his understanding. I think I said about the This Big Old Endless Sky song. I don't think anyone that I felt didn't meet the challenge did so intentionally. There was no attempt to bend the challenge or to crowbar something in that was unfair. I think it was all done in good faith. And Travis has explained to me exactly where he felt he met the challenge and why I was wrong. And had a lovely conversation. He wanted me to make sure he didn't come across as an asshole in that conversation. It's very American, arsehole. It'd be my British. But he absolutely didn't. It was a very nice conversation. And in essence, he felt there were three songs in particular where he met the brief. And they were the Mineral song? Song by Mineral, Aurora by Mineral, Your Hand in Mine by Explosions in the Sky, and Die Happy by My Broken Demotape. He felt all three of those were given prominence as the song, so he was referencing the song rather than just using the words from the song, so they happen to coincide with the same words. I think my take on that is, if you're making three things prominent, are you actually making any of them prominent? I take the word prominent in this context to be giving prominence to a song. That's what the challenge said, or that's what I took from the challenge. Travis has a different view. He felt if you give at least a song prominence, that meets the challenge, and I completely accept that's where he was coming from, and that there was no intent to bend the rules as such. But I guess I went with what I felt at the time, because that's the role I'm not being paid for. That's the job of a judge, is to go with how you interpret the challenge and how you feel songs meet or not the challenge. So as with the other songs, where I come down in a strongly pedantic position, I'd be very interested to know whether I got that right or got that wrong.
I don't know about you, Chumpy. I didn't even think about that. I think at some point I just stopped trying to figure out whether or not a song met the challenge. I don't think that I even clocked that this one might not. Did you, yeah, Chumpy?
I did. I thought, you know, name-checking a bunch of songs in your lyrics is kind of a way of, you know, at least referencing other songs, and I feel like
Would you have caught that if it weren't for the bio?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
I mean, I've been listening to Die Happy by My Broken Demotape a lot lately for some reason. And it is one of Joy's most awesome songs. And I love, love, love it. I caught the references to Die Happy immediately. So I knew what that part was about just from all the exposure I've had to that song recently. So it never occurred to me that, you know, there might have been a miss on the challenge, but... You know, I agree with Mike that just name-checking a bunch of songs in your lyrics is kind of, not a great way of doing it. It's not like you're circumventing the challenge, you're just not really creatively engaging with it in a satisfying way.
I think you're both saying I was wrong, but in a subtle but nice way of putting it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't matter whether you're wrong or not.
I definitely think there's skill involved in repurposing other people's words and making a new narrative. I'm just not sure that's as creative a meeting of the brief as other songs which have started afresh. And it's difficult to pick out lyrics that you like if they're effectively, they've come from somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's hard not to hear some of those Beatles lyrics and not put them in their context just because your associations with them are so strong. So if someone says, I get by with a little help from my friends, you're not going to not put that in a Beatles context. And that's kind of an easy sort of lazy thing to do, but
I think the chorus as well, if you could use somebody. So that's the line that's repeated most often in the song. It's from the Kings of Leon song, I think. I haven't gone back to check, but I think that's right. It sounds musically like that enough for me to think of that song every time I heard that line. I immediately thought of the Kings of Leon. But I didn't think he was referencing the song by the Kings of Leon in this context. He was just using the words, use somebody, if you could use somebody. So I think I was overly pedantic. This was the song I struggled with the most because I thought I understood where it was coming from. I thought I understood the story behind it. And I felt, A, terrible about being so pedantic about it, but B, that if I was going to be pedantic about it, I had to explain myself really carefully because I understood that this was probably a very meaningful song to Travis and that it wouldn't come across that well if somebody's just waving the rules in his face saying, no, sorry, this doesn't pass muster for me. So I agonized over this song. I spent literally hours and hours trying to craft a form of words that explain what I meant. And yeah, Travis obviously doesn't agree with me, but he disagreed with me in the nicest possible way. I mean, so we had a very nice conversation about it. And
he's definitely not an asshole.
No, definitely not at all. And he accepts that the additional 22 songs that he says aren't the three that he prominently mentions, they kind of muddy the water a bit. You end up with just a big wash of these references, and it is more difficult to pick out the ones that are intended to be prominent. It would have helped just to point it out in the bio for idiots like me to go, oh, right, those are the prominent ones. Fine, I'll move on. I struggled with the review because I really like the song. And I love where it was coming from. It's a really heartfelt, beautifully written song.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it too. And you know what? I found it kind of ironic that I think the most powerful lyric was an original one and didn't reference a given song. It's the line, you've never been so lost that Midwest emo couldn't find you, which I thought was a fantastic line because, you know, Midwest emo is kind of Travis's thing. It was just a way of saying, you know, this music means a lot to me and it has helped me, it has found me. And like, it really resonated with me.
That was my favorite line as well. And I think that is from another song because that was in his explanation.
Oh, it had a number next to it. Oh my God.
No, the first line in that verse had a number next to it. And that's Aurora by Mineral. And that is one of the songs he referenced. And he did tell me about that line. You'll have to edit this bit. So he said, the second reference is Aurora by Mineral. And I wanted to note that your favourite lyric of the song about Midwest emo is directly in connection with that song. It is archetypal Midwest emo. Give it a listen if you aren't familiar. It's 8 minutes long, sorry. So I don't know whether it's repurposed. I haven't had time to go back and check that song out. I don't know if it's repurposed or just references it in a kind of wider sense. But that was my favourite line in the song too. But that is a reference to another song, which I completely didn't get.
I will have to listen to that Aurora song. I'll put that on my to-do list, like for real.
Yeah, there's going to be a quiz later. My thoughts on the song, well, let's see. Chumpy referenced this in our previous podcast. Micah Summersmith and Jerkatorium did a song fight winning song together entitled Old Friends, where we kind of lightly roast each other and, you know, trade some barbs and quips. And among them, Micah claims that Jerkatorium songs are, quote, basically the same song every week, unquote, which was funny and it's a good line and it's meant in jest. But I still think about it constantly and often argue against it silently to myself. So I'm still doing that. But having said that, this Governing Dynamics song is so Governing Dynamics. This is like when you hear this song, this is also just in terms of tone, in terms of tempo, in terms of instrumentation, it's very, very, very Governing Dynamics in every way, that way. Lyrically, inventive. It includes all these references jammed in together, which is really cool. But now apparently a little controversial, but still, I thought it was lovely that way, and yet very, very, very much a governing dynamic song in the absolute mold of a governing dynamic song. Like, I feel like I've heard this before, almost. Also, two F-bombs. And I think they get by with two, which is the wrong number of F-bombs. But I think they get by with two because they're both in, I think, choruses. So, like, if it's part of the chorus, then it's essentially one repeated instead of two individual F-bombs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how granular you are with the F-bombs. It's not just how many, it's where they're placed and whether that counts as a repeat or a new reference.
Yeah, I think I want to have this be a rule, you know, like a Godwin's Law sort of a thing, where for music, there are a really good and effective number of F-bombs, which is 0 or 1 or 1,000. And anything outside of that is wrong.
Right. It has to do with F-bomb prominence. I think prominence is the key word there. So maybe for a future Spin Tunes challenge, just keep that in the back of your mind, judges.
I would love a Spin Tunes challenge where you have to make prominent use of swear words. I use swear words like punctuation in my everyday life. It annoys everybody around me. I'm on my absolute best behavior today. I use them as punctuation. It's just so natural to swear.
Well, it's okay. I mean, I know I just referred to them as F-bombs instead of actually using the word, but, you know.
I didn't know that. You didn't actually swear when you were referring to the swears.
Yeah, but anyhow. But yeah, don't feel bad. I could cut it out later, but I probably won't if you find yourself punctuating.